Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the fourth day of February 2015. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vick. She's at Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. We'll check out the agricultural weather forecast with Drew Lerner from World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Hear how to use the Farm Bill Toolbox and APAS websites to help design your farm programs for the coming five-year period. That with Jonathan Kappas from the University of Illinois. And, of course, we'll check out the agricultural cash grain markets with the folks at the Anderson's Climbers facility outside of Logansport, Indiana. And it all happens on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, what do you know? It is possible to be two places at once, at least relatively speaking. I'm out of the office this afternoon at the Pork Expo in Peoria, along with Jackie Vex. No worries. I talked to her a bit earlier, too. So we'll have an update of what's happening in the market with her and a look at the cash grain market and the weather as we make our way through this edition of the Closing Market Report. A couple of reminders, if you didn't get a chance to make it to the Pork Expo, don't worry about it. You'll get to us in Springfield, if you'd like, at the Northfield Inn in Suites. That's tomorrow evening for another one of our Will Ag panels. Tomorrow night we'll start at 6:30 there at the Northfield Inn and Suites. That's the Sangamon Avenue exit, not far off of that anyway, and Interstate 55. Matt Bennett from Channel Seeds, Kurt Kimmel from Bates Commodities, and Bill Mayer will be there from Strategic Farm Marketing. And Strategic will go through a couple of things, including the Farm Bill and some crop insurance. It's all free and open to everybody. And then on Saturday morning we'll be at the Chicago Farmers Farmland Forum in Joliet, and we'll have Matt Bennett, Chuck Shelby, and Gary Schnicke with us. That at the Weitendorf Agricultural Educational Center. That's across from the Chicagoland Speedway. It's easy to get to. If you get an opportunity to join us there, you can. That one's not free, but it's a great big event, the Chicago Farmers Farmland Forum. Just search Chicago Farmers, and you'll find more information about that. Next week, we will be in Galesburg. This is on February the 11th at the Knox Agri Center. Kurt Kimmel, Bill Mayer, and Chip Nellinger will join us then. Get a chance, join us, look it up at willag.org.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC, providing nationwide land auctions, farmland sales and management, and financial advice for agribusiness. Information on upcoming land auctions and offerings can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
Now let's check the weather forecast for the Urbana-Champaign area today. Snow with temperatures falling to around 20 by 5 o'clock this evening. North-northwest winds at 9 to 15 today. Though gusts as high as 23, the chance of snowfall in the area set at 90%. Total daytime snow accumulation of between 1 and 3 inches today. Tonight a 30% chance of snow before 9 in the evening. Mostly cloudy. It'll gradually clear out, and that means the temperatures will drop like a rock all the way to 2 degrees. Wind chills between negative 10 and 0 this evening on a north-northwest wind at 9 to 15, gusting to 20. And then tomorrow, sunny skies will top out with a high of just 14 degrees. Wind chills between negative 12 and negative 2. North-northwest winds at 5 to 9 tomorrow. They'll turn to the south in the morning and will stay clear for the Thursday evening, a low around 7 degrees. Wind chills between 3 below and 2 above. Above southwest winds then around 8 miles an hour, and on Friday, mostly sunny skies, a high of 33 degrees. Again, a south wind at 8 to 11, gusting to 15. Partly cloudy Friday night with a low of 27. Saturday, partly sunny, a high of 38. Saturday night, cloudy and a low of 34. On Sunday, a chance of rainfall, mostly cloudy and a high of 39 degrees. Mostly cloudy Sunday night and a low of 20. And on Monday, partly sunny with a high of 26 degrees. Monday night, partly cloudy, a low of 16, and by the time we get to Tuesday of next week, mostly sunny and a high of 31 degrees. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated. He is, of course, in Kansas City, Missouri.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Wednesday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason, out of the office today with Jackie Vanks at the Pork Expo on the convention floor in Peoria at the Civic Center. We recorded earlier with Jackie, and she now joins us at that time to take up the marketplace. Jackie, I'm glad you're able to be with us over at the Pork Expo. I know we're having a great time there, but let's have a good time on the air this afternoon, too, and talk a little bit about the marketplace, but in kind of a different vein. I know we have some discussion points to take up as it relates to acreage and also the February crop insurance setting month, and maybe we should start with yield exclusion. This is a new program that came out from the United States Department of Agriculture related to crop insurance. You've been talking with your farmers about it and exploring what it might mean. What have you learned about it?
Well, you know, it's really interesting, Todd. As soon as I saw it announced, I thought, you know, this might be the program that actually buys the corn acres. We may not have to rally to buy the corn acres when you come right down to it. Maybe we won't plant nearly as many bean acres, but here in Illinois, you know, if you're in a county that actually qualifies, it allows you to drop out, like 2012, your worst production year, and that would certainly be 2012 in the last 10 years, let's say. But if you're in other counties, like out in Kansas, or other states like out in Kansas and up in Minnesota, the Dakotas, in some of those areas, they can drop out 5, 6, 7 years. And so I was talking with one of my Kansas guys this morning about it, and he said on average in his area, it's raising the APH by 40 to 50 bushels to the acre. And, you know, most of their land out there, of course, is irrigated, and then they have non-irrigated besides, you know, so there's two different situations there. Minnesota, we're looking at 45 to 65 bushels to the acre in a lot of areas that do qualify. And I haven't had a chance to talk to any of my North Dakota and South Dakota guys just yet about it, but you know, I think it can, you know, it's going to cost more in premiums. There's no question about that. But I do believe it could swing acres that were originally looking to be put into beans, you know, actually into corn. And so this puts a different twist on everything. Leave it up to the farm bill, you know, to twist everything around. But it definitely will make a difference for the farmer just in general and as far as encouraging corn acres versus beans in some places. Now, if you go into the Dakotas, there are still piles on the ground of corn, and there are still great, huge logistics problems in terms of the railroad going on. So will it really swing them? I don't know, you know, but it's going to be a perception. If the traders on the floor catch on to this, they'll definitely spend their time penciling it out and trying to figure out what's going to happen.
So this is YE, or yield exclusion. It's part of the crop insurance program. And, of course, that's being set at this point through the month of February, the December contract in corn being used as the number that producers will be looking at. But the yield exclusion, if it really does bump yields up dramatically in the outlying areas, I suppose, could cause producers to really think about continuing corn. Although in Minnesota, they're likely to do the corn anyway, I suppose, and maybe in the Kansas areas. I don't know. Do they change their rotations for this and do I'm not do they do I don't know whether they can do more corn or not.
They do at times, you know, but you have to remember, you know, while Kansas, you're usually talking about shifts between corn and wheat more than you are anything else, but there's still plenty of beans grown out there too, especially and Nebraska's another one of my Nebraska guys I've got a call in to, but he's on vacation, so I probably won't hear from him till next week. And there, they grow a lot of beans under irrigation, and so, you know, it's going to be very interesting. It seems as if it favors the West a great deal, and how much of a difference it can make, but again, we know that the market is run by perception. It doesn't necessarily run by reality, and so yesterday's big rally up that we had was a great thing. You know, it felt like, oh, good, we've got something going here. Maybe we're going to get a better insurance price, and then, you know, you don't always see follow-through on those types of things. So it's going to be important as we move forward here to keep this in mind. I think the reason I bring it up is because there are a lot of guys out there waiting for this big rally to be able to perhaps sell some corn, maybe do some options, maybe do some futures. And unfortunately, if this really does have an impact, we may not get the big rally. That's the bad part.
One other item to take up before I let you go for the afternoon, that would be the WASDE report of the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates. They're out once a month, and we're due in February soon.
Right. Yeah, we're going to have that report next week, Tuesday at 11 o'clock. Average guesses really aren't very far off from where we are right now. We're seeing a bit of a growth expected in the ending stocks on corn. Not a big surprise. I think, you know, when you saw ethanol come in at 3% less production this past week, you know, it only leaves us 5.6% ahead of a year ago. It doesn't take very many weeks, and all of a sudden we're at or below last year. And I think that we probably expect to see exports increase and at the same time possibly feed use decrease. On beans, a little bit tighter, you know, basically on an increase in exports, and on wheat just a little bit bigger with the idea that, you know, it's not as competitive in the world market nor in the U.S. market for feed. Now, when you look at the big picture for the world, for the global stocks, okay, a very little change on the corn global stocks. The bean stocks down just slightly, and the wheat stocks are expected to be up slightly. The big switches, of course, we saw Informa come out yesterday with numbers based on Brazil and Argentina. And the beans they took away from Brazil, they gave to Argentina, which makes sense because Argentina has had awesome weather. And on the corn side of it, we lost a small amount of corn position, or you know, corn production, but at the very same time, you know, it's a situation where they're not our biggest competitor when it comes to corn, and so I don't think that is necessarily something that a person should be concerned about. But it'll be good to have it behind us. You know, most of the time, the February report isn't really a very big report, but it could be this year. You know, the funds are looking, Todd, for any reason to try and do something in these markets. You know, they've been defending their long position in corn, and they want to, I think they'd like to have some affirmation that that's what they need to continue to do. And, oh, one of the things, I got to tell you this before we stop. I made a mistake when I said about pork. I said pork consumption. I caught myself after. It's pork production passed beef for the first time since 1952, because beef is actually headed to a 22-year production lull. And pork is headed to a 4.6% production increase for this year with a 1.7% loss on beef. You know, beef just is having a hard time catching up, but we've seen a lot of expansion in pork. I wanted to make sure I corrected that.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us today, Jackie.
Thanks, Todd.
Jackie Vakes, of course, with Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County, joins us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. Farmers and landowners wanting to learn more about the new farm programs and the sign-up process can visit the Farm Bill Toolbox online. It, of course, was developed right here on this campus in concert with ag economists from Ohio State. Just search Google for Farm Bill Toolbox and you'll find a 7-step decision-making process. There's also a link from the Farm Bill Toolbox to USDA's APAS website. Well, APAS stands for Agricultural Policy Analysis System. Jonathan Kappas from the University of Illinois says the two systems are related to each other.
The way we look at it is the APAS site gives you that chance to calculate payments and get expected payments, where the Farm Bill Toolbox is the education, the outreach, and the analysis. So you can use the two interrelated. In fact, in presentations, we often go through the decision steps and jump back and forth between the APAS tool and the decision steps, and as a way to, you know, I've got a question about what is this program or what's kind of going on behind it, and you can jump into the analysis on the Farm Bill Toolbox and back and forth. And so the two really work together in that way.
One of the important parts of the APAS is the sample farm. Can you explain what that is and what producers can learn about that if they're not interested in putting all their own data into APAS?
So sample farms is a very user-friendly and kind of a quick way to analyze the programs and get a sense of what program payments you could expect for your county. So you, what you do is you just, you enter your state and county, you pick a price series. So there's three different price series that forecast what prices may be in the future. And then it calculates, what it does is it simulates a farm. So you're not actually using a farm in that county, but it takes the historic planning information in the county, what's gone on in recent years, and then builds a farm, if you will, or simulates a farm that's sized to be about $500,000 in revenue. So that's the kind of size farm. And then it takes that acreage and uses it as if they were the base acreage for the program, and then runs it through the model and estimates payments for a farm of that size. So what it does is really gives a quick sort of benchmark or simple way to get, or fast user-friendly way to get to some analysis on the programs and see what they're likely to do. You can get program payment estimates on a per acre basis, per crop, across all crops, and run some revenue numbers for your farm and get a sense of, all right, you know, what, how does my farm compare to this size-wise, and what the expected payments would be. Of course, as you know, we always remind everybody that these are very, very much estimates and expected payments. These are not guarantees in any way, shape, or form that this will be the payment. And of course, we'll be updating as we go and know more about where county yields are in particular. That's going to be the big piece as we look forward to the decisions with that program decision on March 31st. That's the big thing we're waiting for now, is the county yields from USDA, which will really determine how program payments may look for the 2014 crop year.
And how soon do we expect to have those?
I think the timeline on that from USDA is usually late February, end of February. So, you know, we figure you got the base acre and payment yield decision February 27th. You got the program choice decision March 31st. Somewhere probably around that base acre and payment yield decision, we might see the county average yields. Maybe they can move them up. That would be great if they could.
The good news is that the base acre and the yields really aren't related to what the county yield is, so don't worry about that. Go ahead and make the decision without any concern about that. It is the ARC PLC decision that the county yields make a big difference for.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
And this is not just for the state of Illinois, but it is nationwide?
This is a national effort. We've got universities from across the nation, and we've got data and information and payment estimates for every major program crop, where there's data available across the country, states and counties. And so there's a lot that has gone into this. We've held national meetings for regional meetings for national, you know, level educators, extension agents, and crop insurance. And we're actually looking to hold some more webinars where we get great attendance across the country for webinars. And so we're getting ready to set up another series of those here leading up to the decisions in late February and March.
Yeah, those would be for those who are interested in watching you live and asking questions. But the webinars are already there, or the previous ones, and they can go back and watch those too.
Yeah, we've got six or seven webinars archived, and those are right there on the Farm Bill Toolbox as well. Archive webinars, you can go back and look at all the information that's put out that we've put out back in, mostly back in October, right after the programs were released.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Thank you, Todd. Always good to talk to you. And we look forward to doing some more as we get to this deadline on March 31st.
All right. Again, the way you get to this is to first just type Farm Bill Toolbox into Google, the search engine, probably the first thing to come up. You'll know it as soon as you see it. And once you're there, you can use the toolbox from the University of Illinois, the Farm Doc folks. That's good for every place across the nation as well. And you'll be able to link to the APAS system, which belongs to USDA, but developed here on this campus, and the help and aid of some other institutions. You can find that. You need to do it soon, because you've got decisions to make between now and February 27th and a final one on the 31st day of March. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Wednesday afternoon. Let's turn our attention to the agricultural cash grain markets. The folks at the Anderson's Climbers facility join us now from outside of Logansport, Indiana. Scott Butcher on the line. Thanks, Scott, for taking the time with us. Start by telling me about how the ethanol plant is running, what the margins look like at this time. We're many very concerned about that, and then how your basis levels are holding up.
Well, we're running full capacity here at the ethanol plant. I mean, we're still, even with the poor margins, you know, trying to produce as much as we possibly can through the plant. We haven't slowed down or anything. Margins have improved just a little bit here in the last week or so. So, you know, maybe getting a little bit better. Right now, this time of year, with the cold weather, the last thing that you want to have to do is to slow the plant down at all. So want to try to keep that running as seamlessly as possible.
Now, when you look out broadly across the ethanol industry, are there whispers still that there may be some plants that go to hot idle at some point? I've heard that, especially about the plants that would be in the far western Corn Belt, maybe in the Kansas, down in the Texas area. I don't know whether you've heard anything about this or not.
I really haven't, Todd. I mean, it seems like in our area, I'm kind of isolated to the Midwest, as far as the ethanol part of our business anyway. We really don't get out of this area as far as our, you know, just our geography right now is centered around this area. And don't really hear anything about that. I guess, it wouldn't surprise me in some of those outlying areas, where maybe corn is a little bit harder to find with poorer margins. You know, you got those two things working against you. Perhaps that would be the case.
Tell me about basis in your area. How strong is it? And are you able to pull more corn, and from how far away?
Well, basis is getting stronger, that's for sure. The lower cash price, as the board has kind of faded recently, the lower cash prices, we've had to, strengthen basis just to continue to see some movement. Movement is definitely slowed from the farmer over the last month or so with the cold weather and, anything that, you wouldn't expect this time of year, but unfortunately the poorer cash prices, made it a little bit worse. So basis is strengthening and probably getting a little bit better here as we go along February into March.
When seasonally would you expect producers to open the bin doors up?
I would say we're probably looking at, maybe a March. We see a little bit more movement in March maybe than what we're seeing right now. I think a lot of it has to do with the weather still. Even if the cash price, it would happen to start warming up in March, maybe a few guys would feel like, that they would need to do something, just to keep things moving.
I'll turn your attention to the soybeans. Processors in the area able to pull soybeans out of the bin from farmers?
Yeah, I think soybean movement has been very good since harvest. Really there's been December, January were both very strong months for soybean movement. It felt like, lines were bad at the processor, so that would indicate that there's a lot of beans moving both off the farm and from commercials. So it certainly feels like movement has been strong and, really look for that to continue probably at least through this month.
Thank you so much for taking the time with us. We do appreciate it.
You're welcome.
That, of course, is Scott Butcher. He's with the Anderson's Climbers facility. That's the ethanol plant located outside of Logansport, Indiana. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media with the weather forecast from Drew Lerner out of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
It's National Stuffed Mushroom Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1790, John Bachman was born, a naturalist and Lutheran minister. He wrote some of the text for John James Audubon's albums of birds and mammals of North America. He also published his own works on botany, agriculture, and southern animals. In 1810, Alexis Soyer was born, a French chef and author. He opened kitchens in Ireland during the famine to sell food at one-half price, and he was also the inventor of several stoves and kitchen utensils. In 1824, J.W. Goodrich introduced rubber galoshes, thin rubber boots to fit over shoes during inclement weather. In 1906, Clyde W. Tombaugh was born, an American astronomer. He discovered Pluto in 1930. Born on a farm near Streator, Illinois, his first telescope was made from old farm equipment parts. In 1930, candy maker Frank C. Mars of Minnesota introduced the Snickers bar. And in 1941, Roy J. Plunkett received a U.S. patent for Teflon. He discovered it by accident in 1938. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
Support for this agricultural weather forecast on WILL comes from the Friends of WILL and from Busey. Whether it's quickly approaching or many years away, Busey Wealth Management provides retirement solutions tailored to one's specific needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Now here's Drew Lerner with an update of today's agricultural growing areas weather forecast.
Snow that developed across portions of Nebraska and southern Iowa overnight will be shifting to the east and south as we go through the day today through a big part of the Midwest. We expect most of the snow, though, to be less impressive relative to that which occurred in Nebraska overnight. Some of those areas saw 2 to 7 inches of accumulation. We won't see nearly that much in the Midwest, but we will see a few inches. And the temperature bias for the majority of the Midwest here today will continue to be quite chilly. Most areas will see afternoon temperatures in the teens and 20s, with the exception of the Ohio River Valley and parts of Ohio in general, will likely see 30-degree temperatures in those areas. In fact, quite a few areas right at the Ohio River and southward will probably get up over 40 degrees. But most of the areas that get the snow will be cold enough, obviously, to keep it all in the form of snow. There may be a little bit of wintry mix of precipitation types on the southern fringes of the precipitation event. Tomorrow afternoon, temperatures will probably still be in the teens and 20s across a big part of the Midwest. Some 30-degree temperatures may occur in eastern Nebraska and parts of eastern Kansas, Missouri, and a few areas into the southern parts of Kentucky, but for the most part, it'll still be chilly across the region. We'll look for a warming trend to start kicking in a little bit on Friday and Saturday. High temperatures Saturday afternoon will be in the 30s across a big part of the northern sections of the region, while 40s and 50s occur in many other areas. Wouldn't surprise me at all to see some temperatures over 60 degrees in the southwest corner of Corn Belt country. We'll expect the overnight lows tonight to fall back into the positive and negative single-digit readings across a big part of the western Corn Belt. Areas from parts of eastern Nebraska and northeast Kansas up through northern Illinois and Wisconsin and Minnesota and eastern Dakotas will all see these temperatures in that range. It'll be a very cold night, but most of the soft wheat areas will be adequately protected by the new layer of snow and that which is left over from the bigger storm system over the weekend. The temperatures in the eastern Midwest will be mostly in the single digits and teens overnight tonight, and we'll likely see single digits and teens still occurring in many areas as we get into Friday morning, but after that we'll get away from all that and see temperatures mostly running 20s and 30s for lows with a few temperatures over 40 degrees over the weekend. Down in South America, the forecast continues to promote a very good environment for most of Brazil's crop areas. We expect to see timely rain occur in every part of Brazil's key crop production region. Some delay to harvesting is possible, but I wouldn't focus much on that. The heavier rains will be limited to just a few days at a time, and the fieldwork will advance right around it. We'll expect to see second season corn planting, as well as some cotton and sunseed planting that will occur as a second crop, advance very well across most of Brazil. And the forecast in Argentina looks fairly good as well. It's very dry in the far south, Buenos Aires and parts of La Pampa, but these are the areas that are most favored for rainfall over the next few days, and relief is expected to occur in those areas. The rest of Argentina will see a more limited amount of precipitation and warmer bias temperatures for a while, so net drying will occur, but there's plenty of moisture to go around to carry on normal crop development. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Our thanks to Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated for his update of the weather forecast for the afternoon. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. That wraps up this edition of the Closing Market Report.